Good afternoon. Some of us to do it another.
Today we are hearing Senate Bill 260. We have four witnesses that have signed up to offer testimony, and we're eagerly awaiting the results of a meeting from the ESD study group that occurred on the 28th of February. So what we will do without further ado is call forward the witnesses. Mr. Leibowitz, did you want to bring a panel forward, or did you want to make your testimony individually? Please bring your panel forward.
Back again.
Yes.
Maybe they got the right answer this time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Senator Farioli and members of the Senate Revenue Committee, good morning. My name is Skip Lieberts. I'm the superintendent of the Willamette ESD, which is here in Salem, and I'm chairman of the Association of Oregon Educational Service Districts Legislative Committee. I have attended most of your hearings on Senate Bill 260, and I appreciate the time and thoughtful conversation that this committee has invested in this bill. I also had the pleasure of serving on the legislature's ESD task force that generated the recommendations upon which Senate Bill 260 was based. We met for almost a year, and as most of you know, some of the recommendations of that task force have turned out to be very controversial. Much of the testimony that your committee has heard has focused on some of the unique challenges that face some of the smaller ESDs which serve the remote and sparsely populated parts of our state. The purpose of my testimony this morning is to share with you a portion of the background on this issue and the debate that surrounds it, at least from the state association's point of view. This issue is a very important one for all ESDs in this state. We believe that a strong association of ESDs providing quality educational service to all school districts is essential to K-12 education in Oregon. All of you should have received the OAESD legislative platform just as the session was starting, and it specifically supported all of the recommendations of the legislative ESD task force except for that of forced mergers, and we chose not to support that particular recommendation. We specifically formed a subcommittee to look at how the special needs of smaller ESDs could be accommodated. We also asked that committee to look at how problems associated with high-cost special education youngsters could be resolved. Dennis Dempsey, who is the superintendent of Crook-Deschutes ESD, chaired that subcommittee. Last week, the OAESD Superintendents Forum met here in Salem to discuss the recommendations of that subcommittee. And I think you heard at an earlier meeting that that was going to happen on the 28th. After several hours of discussion, we adopted two recommendations which we feel deal with these difficult issues. I asked a couple of key members of our association to attend the hearing this morning to answer any questions that you might have about those recommendations. And I'd really like to emphasize that we've been felt that we were faced with a situation of dealing with a zero-sum game, that we don't believe there's additional money, so we have tried to look at solutions that fit within the dollars that we believe have so far been discussed in terms of being allocated to education. David Campbell is the superintendent of the Clackamas ESD and has spent a great deal of time crunching the numbers and consulting with the Legislative Revenue Office about how these numbers affect ESDs and the state school fund. He's prepared to speak to those issues if you wish. I'd like to ask Dennis Dempsey to share with you the OAESD recommendation, and when he's through, ask David to share what those numbers look like, and then we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Appreciate the opportunity to be back here again this morning. The OAESD Subcommittee on Equity met three different times. We had the superintendents from Grant County, from Harney County, Lake County on the committee, along with also the superintendent from Region 9, which is the Hood River, and the Multnomah ESD superintendent, myself, and then the board chairman from the Willamette ESD. Basically, we came up with two proposals that were brought forth to the whole membership, and those two proposals were to come up with a base funding for the five remote ESDs or small ESDs And that would be ESDs with less than 2,500 students, ADMW. And that fund figure that we came up with was approximately $1 million. If you were to look at the original legislative report and recommendation, they had recommended over 4 years that those five ESDs would actually get funded down to a level somewhere close to $400,000 or $500,000. Our recommendation is that it should not go below $1 million. At the same time, our committee also looked at having a pool of dollars set aside to address, at least try to address, the issue of the low-incidence, high-cost special ed students that many of our ESDs face, particularly some of the bigger ESDs, such as Multnomah and Willamette ESD, face versus some of the other ESDs. And so we proposed a small pot of money to be put in that ESDs could actually apply for to get back to help offset some of those costs of those high-cost special ed students. And so that recommendation went forward from our committee to the whole general membership of the superintendents, and they adopted those resolutions. So that's basically what our committee did to address the remote or small ESDs, and also to try at least start the process of addressing the high-cost, low-incident special ed students.
Good morning, Senator Farioli, members of the Senate Revenue Committee. I'm David Campbell, Superintendent, Clackamas Education Service District. There are some materials at your places that have a cover sheet titled ESD Funding Considerations presented to the Senate Revenue Committee March 6, 2001. I'll be referring to those materials as I go through. As Dennis has just indicated, there were some recommendations that came from the subcommittee, which are incorporated within the overall recommendations that came out of the task force. So if you look at the first page of those materials after the cover sheet, basic recommendations were to maintain the 95%, 5% target ratio with schools and ESDs, except for those five ESDs serving regions which have fewer than 2,500 students, to maintain the 90% of allocation resolution requirement, maintain a four-year implementation plan, and as Dennis just mentioned, that we go to a $1 million target for those five ESDs as opposed to 5% of the region because of the impact that that has on those five areas. And then to set aside funds from the total ESD allocation for high-cost youngsters in certain regions. The next two pages are just a spreadsheet that provides you with the information as to what the funding plan would look like based on those recommendations, with the $1 million target for the five and the other still at a 5% of the region, regional total as their target. And I want to draw attention to the dark shaded numbers for Grant and Wallawa ESD regions. Those are shaded because they are different from the numbers you've seen in the past, and the reason is because we've removed the equalization function. Senate Bill 260 does, in fact, have language that would eliminate an equalization function, and so these numbers reflect what the actual operating values would be for those two regions. So it's a more accurate picture of what really is true in both of those areas. If you go clear across to the far right and go back in one column in, the funding amount, what you will see there would be the resultant funding level in total dollars for each of the ESDs of the state of Oregon if you based it on the recommendations that came out of the task force with the $1 million target for those five. The next page, if you turn to the next page, is simply the second year of the biennium, and you can see what happens to those funding amounts as we proceed ahead on a four-year plan. You'll notice that the multiplier that's used the first year is 25% of a difference subtracted from those that are high, added to those that are low. The second year is a 33% factor, and as you would go out through 4 years, it would go to 50% the third year and then 100% the fourth year. Let me then take you to the next part, which is a plan. I won't call it a plan, I'll call it a concept, one way to look at trying to provide some additional funding for regions that serve a higher proportion of certain classifications of disabled youngsters. I won't go through the language there. You can read that. But what I'd like to do is have you turn to the next page. It just simply lists the numbers of students in four identified categories: autism, emotionally disturbed, mentally retarded, other health impaired. The reason for those four categories and not all categories of special education is because there are numbers of youngsters that are served speech-language services, as an example, where there is not a high cost connected to those youngsters. There's also hearing-impaired and vision-impaired youngsters, but those are treated through other sources to some extent, in fact, to great extent, through regional programs, through the state schools, and those kinds of things, so they were not used either. These four categories aren't cast in concrete. There could be other categories, but these were the ones that we selected because you will find that numbers of youngsters in these four categories are very high cost. If you'd look at the next page, one of the things that we believed that we would do in our recommendation or in our concept development was to say that if an ESD serves a region where there's a higher collection of certain categories of youngsters, that's where the additional money should go. So let me use Clackamas County again, or Clackamas ESD as an example. We serve in Clackamas ESD region 10.1% of all the students in Oregon. In numbers of autism youngsters, we have 9.62% of the total state youngsters that suffer from autism. We have 9.71% of the emotionally disturbed, 6.6% of the mentally retarded, and 9.49% of the other health impaired. So Clackamas would not be eligible for any of the special education set-aside funds because we do not exceed an expected level in any of those categories. But if you drop down to Lane ESD as an example, you'll see that Lane ESD has 9% of the total student population in the state, but they serve 12.32% of the autistic youngsters. They serve, so that for that category they would be eligible. They would not be for emotionally disturbed because the 8.49% drops below the 9. And then for mentally retarded youngsters, 9.34% they would be. They would not be for other health impaired. So that's the way that that has worked all the way down the sheet. Then if you turn to the very last page, you'll see that there's a no means that an ESD is not eligible for additional funding in a particular area. The number then, as you, let's take Crooked Chutes and go across under other health impaired, see that they come out with an equivalent of 3.3 students above what you would expect them to have in other health impaired in their region. So that would become eligible for some additional funds. If you drop down to Multnomah ESD, you'll see that all across all four categories, they have quite a high number of additional youngsters in a particular area. And so they would be eligible for additional funding across all four of those categories. The amount of money that is allocated in our consideration here this morning was a total over the 2 years of the biennium of $2,100,000. The source of that money, again, is based on the governor's projected allocation for K-12 and ESDs. ESDs for the first year of the biennium were projected at $157.9 million. If you look back to the first page of the spreadsheet on the ESD funding plan, you will see that its total cost is less than that. In fact, the total cost shows to be $156,037,356. The source of funds for the special education set-aside came from that difference, and both years were computed and then averaged for the 2 years.
Yes, sure.
Question, Senator Menace?
Sir, I know that you understand what you're talking about, but I don't.
Okay.
The first page, which first page are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry.
None of them are numbered.
Mr. Chair, Senator Menace, if you will go back to the page that's headed ESD distribution based on 5% state school fund,
okay.
It's the spreadsheet. and you look at the total funding amount, $156 million,
okay.
That is the number that this plan costs in total. The governor's projected revenue to ESDs was $157.9 million. And so, again, as Superintendent Lieberts has indicated, we attempted to work within the confines of projected revenues to ESDs to find a partial solution to this issue.
Mr. Chair.
Question from the Castillo.
Thank you. As I look at the run here and see what happens to Multnomah County ESD in this run, how's Multnomah County on this run?
You're talking now about the total funding plan
mm-hmm.
that starts them declining from mm-hmm. this year of $41,236,000 down to $37,799,000.
And then it goes down more the next
year? It goes down more the next year, and I think they're uncomfortable with the fact that an equalization plan moves people from the extremes to the middle. And I will say this, that the folks in Multnomah County have been, let's say, good soldiers on this issue. I'm not sure how better to describe it. The superintendent from Multnomah ESD has been party to these deliberations and has believed that ultimately ESDs, like school districts, will be equalized in some fashion, and while I think this causes him some real discomfort, he has been a supporter of the overall plan. The school districts in Multnomah County, those superintendents with whom I've spoken, have kind of taken a quiet approach to it. They've not said, yay, we'll really support this, but neither have they come out and said, we absolutely can't live with this.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Castillo.
Well, I just can't help but make the statement that, you know, if I lived in Multnomah County and I know that the Portland area generates the majority of the income taxes for the state of Oregon and helps to subsidize the rest of us in the state because of how well the Portland community is doing, and then I have to turn around and look at my ESD losing this much money. If I was a resident of Multnomah County, that just wouldn't seem fair to me. I don't represent Multnomah County, but as I look at this, it just, you know, I just want us to remember who really generates where, you know, the majority of our income taxes are generated in the state of Oregon. And I think as we look at this, I understand how difficult this is for all of you to do this and to try to come up with a plan that everybody can support. I know it's very, very difficult, and it's politically difficult, but, you know, I look at that, and I just, I think rather than taking away, I'd like to see us put more money into this formula to see how we can help Multnomah County and anybody else who looks like they're going to lose here, rather than take away from what they're doing, because we all know that all districts are facing enormous challenges. And the last thing we need to do is take money away from programs.
Senator Castillo, your comments are very insightful, I believe, and I do represent part of Multnomah County. And, you know, I guess I'd have a difficult time going to my constituents in Multnomah County and saying, on one hand, we're asking you to be good soldiers. On the other hand, you have a disproportionately high number of special education students because of the excellence of your medical community and proximity to full mm-hmm. services that are available through Oregon Health Sciences University and the other area medical facilities. And on the other hand, you have a situation of declining enrollments because of the growth of the suburbs. I don't think there's any good news in those messages, mm-hmm. but I appreciate the fact that they have, for the good of the order, brought forth this their vote to support this recommendation. But as Senator Castillo says, perhaps we can do better. Senator Minnis has a comment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just to state my bias, I think this whole discussion that we've been having on this is pretty ridiculous. because the underlying assumption is that equal dollars is somehow constitutional. And somehow the courts are going to look at this thing and they're going to say, well, if you don't have equal money, then somehow you're not being fair. Well, I would argue, specifically for the record, that there needs to be a service analysis because, you know, what we're attempting to do is serve people who have special needs. Those special needs have different costs. And to somehow suggest that just putting equal dollars in a category arbitrarily somehow serves and rises to a level of being constitutional, to me, is stupid. And that, to use a strong term, it makes no sense.
Do you have any strong feelings about that?
I mean, to me, it's like throwing mud against a wall and saying, well, what we've done here is we've equalized all of the ESDs, and we've done it based on a very, very simplistic analysis, and that's everybody gets the same dollar amount. And that ignores all of the very real issues and real problems that exist within those various districts. Now, I personally have not been a strong supporter of some educational programs. I cannot understand how the Multnomah County ESD is going to deal with this kind of a ratcheting down in terms of dollars and what it is that they're going to choose to throw overboard. And I don't know at this point what it is that I can say you're doing now that you shouldn't do.
Senator Ness, the approach in the special education matrix seems to me to be more systematic and more rational.
It's moving in that direction, yes, sir. You're right. You're right.
So I think it is based somewhat on the service model that you possibly are putting forward here. The idea that there are folks that have a greater and a disproportional negative effect because of the services that they need to provide. That seems to me to be pretty positive thinking in that regard. Senator Myers, did you have observations?
Yeah, it's an observation. I understand how you got to the special needs kind of distribution, but it strikes me the amount of money we're talking about there is insignificant.
That's correct.
It doesn't make it's sort of like a lot of work for no effort or no reward at all. I look at my understanding, Lane's, the difference here is $56,000 a year, and I know in 4J, for example, they have one child that cost them $150,000 a year. Yeah. And it's sort of like, why bother?
Mr. Chair.
I think they could bother very much. But the question is, I think the approach merits are steady. You know, this report that we've asked to be presented today represents evolution, you know, toward closure on the issues that are in front of this committee, which, and just to remind everybody, how do we stay out of equity court? And I think Senator Minnis' comments are germane. How do we not poke our education partners in the eye?
Mm-hmm.
Senator Castillo has identified that issue. I think we should finish with the presentation of the report and ask for other public testimony and see who else might have something to add, and then bring our own concepts to this question and see what we can do to maybe balance the effort. Senator Byer.
Just very quickly, on spreadsheets,
yes.
Could you just walk us through what the columns are so that we're understanding?
Mr. Chair, Senator Byer, I'd be happy to do that. If you will go back to the, I assume you're talking now about the distribution spreadsheet.
Yes.
And then I'll make a couple of comments about these other observations, and that would conclude my remarks. If you start in the far left column and go down, it says 2000-2001 funding. That's what exists today. As we go across, the next column is this year's weighted ADM.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next column is the value per weighted ADM and the allocation. The next column over 2001-2002, that's a projected weighted ADM that we pulled from ODE's numbers that they use. The column then 2001-2002 base amount, the language in Senate Bill 260 calls for a base amount to be computed by taking this year's value per weighted ADM times next year's projected weighted ADM. And that's how that base amount in that column is determined. So then the next column, 2001-2002, regional funding, that's all the money that goes to that region through the state school fund. Then the target amount, ESD target amount, you will see in those regions other than the five, it's 5% of that total. So if you go down to Region 9, the Wasco Hood River area, you'll see that there's $51,099,975 in the total region. So 5% of that is the $2,554,000. That provides the target for that ESD. The five smaller ESDs each have a target of $1 million. Then the next column is the target less the base. Those ESDs that are funded higher than the target, you'll see a negative number. Those ESDs that are funded lower than the target, you'll see a positive number. The next column over is the target and the base difference at 25%. So with North Central, for example, right at the top, their deduction would be $2,696,000. But 25% of that is $674,000. So you take the $674,000 from their current, or excuse me, their base amount of 2012. So their $3,696,000 minus the $674,000 would provide the funding amount of $3,022,088 projected for next year. So that's how it works all the way across. And you can run that same example on each of the ESDs. And then my comment, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, would be that one of the requirements that we had as an ESD group was, first of all, that we work within available resources, no matter what kind of plan we put together. Second was that we do not want to become adversaries with our K-12 clients by requesting additional funds from the state school fund. We just simply cannot do that because we can't rob our clients. That just doesn't work. So our numbers for the set-aside, for example, are very, very small. You're right, they're quite insignificant in terms of the totality of the problem, but they were the best that we could find to try to at least present a concept that you might begin considering. And that would conclude my remarks. We'd be pleased to respond to any other questions if you have them.
Yes, sir. Did you have something you'd like to add?
Just one last comment, if I could, Senator. One of the things that's been true through this whole process is that it has been pretty painful for the Oregon Association of ESDs, and painful only because each of our 21 ESDs are intensely proud of what they do in their own areas. And they work very hard to provide meaningful service to youngsters in school districts. And the comment that David just made about trying to look at a zero-sum game when equalization is what we've been told is going to happen has been very painful. And I know in the last 10 years, I've been superintendent of schools of Lincoln County School District and Corvallis School District. And as we went through equalization in those school districts, it was very painful. And so we're faced with a position here, and you mentioned Multnomah County. Multnomah County is getting slaughtered with this equalization, and despite the fact that their board and their superintendent have continuously said, we understand it's going to happen and we'll do the best we can, that does not mean that meaningful services are not going to be lost for those youngsters in Multnomah County. And so I think David's characterization of they tried to be good soldiers and do what they felt needed to happen within that zero-sum game. There's definitely services there in those ESDs, and I think there are seven or eight of them, and North Central is another that suffers huge losses compared to the rest of their budget. Those are meaningful services that are being provided to those youngsters in those school districts, and so you try to come up with an equalization formula that makes sense in that. It is not a pleasant process. So we certainly bring these our recommendations to you with great respect and look forward to participating in any way that might be helpful to the committee as you try to reach resolution. Thank you.
And I would just say one thing, obviously representing the lowest funded area in the state, that at one end we're concerned about agencies that are losing possible funding for programs, and the NAFCA programs, we don't even have the programs. And what's more amazing to me, and probably shed the most light on this, if you look at the Northwest Regional, which is adjacent to Multnomah, they have the same amount of kids as Multnomah County, yet to get about one-third the amount of money to provide services. When you look at providing equal services to students, in one case you have one county that is getting $400 a student, and the adjacent county next door is getting $150, and they have 100,000 kids each. Obviously, the one ESD is able to provide a heck of a lot more services to their school district than the adjacent one. And so that's what drives the whole equity issue. I would like to provide to my local school districts the same services that the other ESDs are doing, and you can't do that at least on a zero-sum basis unless somebody loses something and somebody gains something. And obviously, if we had money to throw around, that would be the easiest solution, but that's not going to happen, I'm sure.
Well, the other issue, I think there's what we've tried to do with there's two curves that are crossing in this spreadsheet. One of them is the assumption that we're going to limit 595, that there'll be a percentage, absolute percentage equation added. The other is that in creating equalization formula, we're not creating further disequities. And I look at you mentioned the North Central ESD, I look at the number. Over 4 years, they would lose about $2.7 million. And they have approximately 1,700 students. In Multnomah County, they would, over 4 years, the loss to their system would be about $12 million. And they have 100,000 students. So there's a disproportionate disequity in that equation. If you look at a student body of 1/100th of the size, or it's actually 2% of the Portland metro area, which is the North Central ESD, at just under 2,000 students, and a loss of 2.7 million, and then 100,000 students with a loss of 12 million over that period. There's obviously a steeper decline in the smaller districts. And so it's almost a power of 20. So I think we run the risk of in the name of equalization, causing further disequities. And so I guess I'll come back to Senator Nunes's concern about service-based equity questions. I don't think we're going to get there in one hop. I think there's some further work to be done about the question of equity. In the meantime, I really appreciate the fact that you brought this report from the committee with, now did I understand it to be unanimous? Was restraint exercised with duct tape and plastic bags? Or I mean, how did you comment?
Senator Farioli and members of the committee, I would comment that there's not unanimous support, obviously, and We recognize that there are two very difficult issues that we've attempted to address in one way, but they're really still there, and that is the precipitous decline in resources to some of our colleagues and the fact that the special education set aside is really a very meager amount of money to resolve a very difficult issue. And I would echo Superintendent Liebert's offer. If there's a way that I can be of assistance in furthering this work, I would be pleased to do so, and please call on me.
You will come to regret that. Yes, sir. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Can you kind of talk a little bit about how you got to the base level of a million versus a million and a half or 2 million?
Our subcommittee bandied around a lot of different ideas, and having the Grant County and Lake and Kearney County ESD superintendents there, we started talking about what would be an amount that they would need to provide a certain level of services to their school districts as a small ESD. And we got talking about mileage. I mean, you can imagine all the different concepts, windshield time or whatever you want to call it. And so we came up with that figure after 3 days of meetings as a figure. Is it the best figure? Should it be a little higher? Should it be a little lower? They would probably all say that it probably should be a little higher, and eventually it probably would become higher. But we felt that was the figure that our committee, that was what we came up with. And that's, so is it scientific? No, not really. But that was the best guess of all those superintendents were in that meeting for 3 days.
How many superintendents are there?
We had seven in that meeting, and four of them were from Eastern Oregon, and the other three were from, well, I guess Hood River could be called Eastern Oregon. I guess, I don't know.
It actually depends on whether it's an economic development question or whether it's... gentlemen, I appreciate your work. Let's have the other members that have signed up to testify.
Thank you very much.
Others have added their names as we go. Mr. Young from Yamhill ESD, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
Chair Ferrioli and committee members, I'm John Young, the interim superintendent of Yamhill ESD and retired superintendent from Northwest ESD. And I mention that because these are the same issues that we began talking about when I served as that superintendent in Northwest and when we merged four counties to create the Northwest ESD. I agree with what has been said at the table here. This plan that you received is a good first step toward two things, and there are two issues, I believe, equity of service and equity of dollars. And they both play an important role in creating an education service district process in Oregon that serves the needs of our school districts and their kids. You've seen the range of funding from $125 per ADMW up to over $2,000. But I want to focus on something that was just said a moment ago using the Northwest and the Multnomah ESDs as comparisons. And I'm going to put Yamhill ESD in that situation too. I can no longer speak directly for Northwest ESD except based on my experience there in the past. But I do know the situation is very similar for Northwest and for Yamhill ESD. In my written testimony, I give you an example that for the same service that a student in Multnomah or some other, excuse me, higher funded ESD may receive, the school districts in Yamhill County must contribute 58% of the cost of that special ed service or alternative ed service or whatever the service may be for high need, low incidence kids. And 58% of the cost comes out of their school district coffers, money that they might normally spend on textbooks, on teachers, on transportation, on whatever their specific need might be. While in a high funded region, ESD region, that full 100% is provided or may be provided by that ESD, and that school district or those school districts in those areas may use their full dollar to put toward whatever their district needs are. And that's where the inequity of funding really comes in. You've heard that before, but it is a very serious problem. And I know superintendents in those low-funded ESDs, especially those that are contributing larger amounts of monies out of their district monies, to support the same level of service others get for much less cost or no cost in other regions, are very much in support of this issue and in bringing some equity of funding to ESDs. And as was stated earlier, equity of funding does not necessarily bring equity of service. They are two different things, but they can be brought closer together through this plan that you saw and have seen earlier. I believe the equity of service question, and I think that my colleagues do too, that question needs to be addressed perhaps in another task force during the interim period to take these first steps and expand them to the final steps and bring those kinds of notions back to you. I want to also touch on mergers and then be available for any questions, but Senate Bill 259 in Senate Education, chaired by Senator Starr, was tabled last week with the understanding that certain portions would move from that bill into Senate Bill 260. And there are some good pieces in 259 that I think should move forward, and one of those is voluntary mergers. As I testified to Senate Education, voluntary mergers, not mandated mergers, and that's how we're moving. Those mandated mergers, I understand, will no longer be an issue. Voluntary mergers, based on solid reasons for those districts involved, need to move forward, and we need good, clear, clean language in statute that will allow voluntary mergers to happen in a timely manner and in a manner much easier than the law now prescribes for ESDs. And so we are in support of voluntary mergers becoming a part of this bill. The school districts in Yamhill County and their boards of directors have all voted to support a voluntary merger between Yamhill ESD and Multnomah. Yeah, we'd like to go get that money. And Willamette ESD. But And progress is being made.
Was that a subliminal?
That was one of those subliminals. Yeah, we'll, give us all the $400, we'll go home. We are ready to move ahead with a voluntary merger on the two ESDs. And the reasons for the voluntary merger are that the main reason is that kids in our school districts will benefit from larger capacity of service delivery that a larger ESD will bring to Yamhill County. We studied that, produced data on that, and everyone is in agreement on that. So I would urge that the voluntary merger piece become a part of 260, and that you continue to move ahead and support equitable levels of funding and also some decisions that will help bring equitable levels of service to our ESDs. Thank you.
Question, Senator Beyer.
Mr. Young, is it your sense that services across the state are cost relatively the same to save your students?
No, there are differences in cost, and I think it was mentioned here, the windshield time factor in eastern and central Oregon, large differences.
Would you guess the range of cost differences?
Oh, that's a tough question, because I've not worked, I've not had the windshield time issue. As at Northwest ESD, we could be from Hillsboro to any of our districts in about an hour and a half. Now, it's a lot longer drive to go from Lakeview to the northern end of Lake ESD or Harney from the south one end to the other. I just don't have the background to know what that cost would be and how significant that cost might be.
But on the other hand, you're not likely to encounter any traffic jams.
No, that is absolutely right, yeah.
Unless there's a cattle drive.
That's right. And I've been behind the cattle drive through John Day, too, so I know that.
You try to plan those.
I do know that when you plan it for us western side. I do know that when equity was brought to school districts across the state, that issue was there because there are geographic and other factors in school districts, and that's why we have a formula that addressed those, and I think we need a similar formula to address those kinds of issues in ESD, so to build that into a park, Senator Byer.
Actually, we do the cattle drives in John Day around lunchtime. To get people out of their cars into the restaurants. Senator Minnis?
Senator Starr, did you have a
question? Do you have a question, Senator Starr?
A comment.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Senator.
I believe that this is outstanding work that's been mulled over and massaged in a variety of ways. I do happen to represent a part of the Northwest Regional, and as was pointed out earlier, we have been very severely underfunded in comparison to Multnomah, and I'd also like to point out that it is Washington County that's one of the major drivers of the income tax revenues in our state, and so I really commend the folks who worked on this, that they've been able to, in a sense, do the heavy lifting for us, and that there were good soldiers involved, I think, on many sides of the issue. It's remarkable work, I think, and I want to commend you and thank you for it.
Relative to the principles that we talked about in terms of voluntary merger, we did discuss moving forward in Senator Starr's committee, subject to the prerogatives of the chairman. But this bill, Senate Bill 260, is not the vehicle. It doesn't have the right relating clause. The good Senator Starr that chairs the Educational Committee is the person that upon whom you need to prevail on his good graces about the voluntary merger portion.
And we will do so.
Yeah, in other words, it didn't move into this bill. It does need to go into 260. Senator Minnis has a question.
Actually, not really a question. Maybe first a question. Does your ESD, you contract for services with other ESDs? And do you have contracts between groups? Or
we do have some contracts between. There are some shared programs already existing between Willamette ESD and Yamhill ESD.
All right, so you're already in the business of doing
right.
this mm-hmm. to some degree. I guess I would challenge people to think outside the box. I kind of go back to a comment I made in one of the previous meetings. I honestly have no idea why the legislature gets engaged in this conversation to begin with. There is a constitutional requirement that compels equity for basic school support grants for children throughout the state. That is a constitutional question. There is no similar constitutional question as it relates to ESDs. ESDs do not have to exist, but they're necessary. And I guess what I would suggest the committee think about, and everyone else, is why not just roll this money into the basic school support grant or some variation of that, and let the school districts contract for the services as they desire them. Why not let you live and die based on whether or not your services are worth anything to the school districts?
I think that's been a comment and a concept that's come up time and again in the past, in past legislative sessions, and has been discussed, and has not moved ahead.
But why?
I couldn't answer that. I don't know.
My sense is we're compelling a bureaucracy that doesn't necessarily have to exist in its current form. I just think we ought to think outside the box, literally, instead of coming in here wasting and spending an inordinate amount of time trying to figure out what equity means as it relates to ESDs. School districts know what services they want to purchase. They can evaluate the Multnomah ESD or the Yamhill ESD or Clackamas or whomever they choose. Let them choose to purchase services wherever they want. Put the control back in the local community with the local school boards. Let them do the work. Why we're spending our time trying to delineate what this means and how it relates to districts is beyond me. If they choose to merge on their own, let them merge on their own.
Actually, Senator, I think we're moving in the direction of voluntary mergers on 259, and this committee started with the premise that ESDs didn't exist. So I think there's merit in what you say. Yeah, but getting outside the box is, I think, the challenge in front of this committee. Let's ask for any further questions then. Mr. Groner would like to make some additions to the public record. Fire when ready, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ralph Groner. I represent AFSCME, American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees. And for the record, 400 of the 600 employees at MESD are my members. And so there may seem to be a special interest, but I kind of want to lay all the, what I've heard here on the table and what's really happening. And I normally have a big smile and excited to appear in front of a committee, and right now my blood pressure is up. So please forgive me for that, because I really want to talk about what I've learned in an older age than all of you, frankly, and that's the word balance in life, and balance here in these halls. The fact of the matter is, what I've heard, everybody's well-intentioned, and that frankly they've done good work as it relates to what they were looking at. But as I listen to Northwest Region talk about equity, and I listen to Yamhill County talk about equity, and I listen to Senator Starr parroting, pardon me, that equity issue, I need to tell you why we're alone. And frankly, you'll see AFSCME here alone on this, and that is frustrating me somewhat, because if you'll just forget my members a moment, I tried to testify to the issue that because of federal law, those who are disabled and handicapped were not going to be able to cut those programs in Multnomah County. So that leaves us, I know the program inside and out now, that leaves us with no choices to what to cut, and I went through those 9 programs with this committee, and then I went down to Ways and Means and realized the governor's dropout program was not accepted, and by the way, I understand that. I understand the budget and the 107, and maybe worse in May. And then I look at the budget for Oregon Youth Authority, and it's been cut significantly, Mr. Chairman. And then I realized the 9 programs that are at risk in Multnomah County really are programs that deal with dropouts and kids coming back out of the campuses through the Oregon Youth Authority, and the high success rate of those programs hasn't been testified to in front of this committee. And then I realized that when we're talking about in the city of Multnomah County, the dropout programs are significantly higher amount of kids than in other areas, and that these kids are coming out of the facilities that the state operates, and those programs are threatened whatsoever, and I mean this seriously. To me, equity arguments are obfuscating through dollars what the real issue is. Folks are, and Dr. Schmidt, if you ask him, will also testify that you threaten at-risk kids are going to be back on the state cost through Ways and Means, whether we like it or not, because the programs, those 9 programs dealing with dropout kids, are very successful, And those are the programs, aside from the outdoor school. You saw that in the headlines. I'm sorry that's going, but potentially it's going anyway. But that's gone already. What we now are faced with are no options but our dropout programs, and that ends up costing the state, because these are kids that are in trouble already or facing trouble. These are kids facing state institutions. So I also want to comment regarding the board being accepted, MESD board accepting, or the untenable position the superintendent of MESD is in. I'm one who streaks straight, and it may get me in trouble sometimes, but I'm one who does that. Dr. Smith's a wonderful person, and he's a gentleman, as are Dr. Campbell and all the other doctors behind me, and I don't have a doctorate, but I'm not...
be able to help you with your blood pressure.
I could. They could if I had a doctor. But I would like to say to you that I put together a meeting with my Multnomah County delegation. That's all I knew to do. I asked the MESD board to come and explain the program, and Dr. Schmidt. And what I just heard isn't what I heard there. What I heard was, okay, Dr. Schmidt hasn't been the enemy because he's chairman of the state ESD Association, and he is a gentleman. He does support equalization. I testified to that. The only issue I've asked is, folks, if it took 10 years to equalize K through 12, I still heard here today by this committee the need to equalize in 4 years. I'm trying to say that I think the taxpayers are going to be, we're going to increase the cost to taxpayers if we do it that rapidly. I've been asked by the MESD board, and Dr. Schmidt has stated that the longer they can pare this out, the easier it will be, and the more they'll be able to pull off this transition if they have some time. And I said, how much time? And they said, frankly, if we could just get 8 years, and I know that's probably not, the committee wants to do this overnight. We didn't do it with K through 12, and everybody's after, to me, it's, pardon me, I won't say what I really, to me, it's a rush to get these dollars at the expense of the state general fund, and kids ending up back in the corrections facilities is exactly where this is heading. And I think that's short-sighted. And you've hit, Senator Minnis hit the issue, because you're talking about programs, and I would hope before you go to 4 years, my only hope is you'll seriously take a look at the 9 or 8 dropout programs run by Multnomah ESD, what the impact will be, and what that'll mean where you all work down in Ways and Means. That's my only comment. I don't want you to think that they blindly accept this report, the board, or the superintendent, because I've been asked to step forward and work towards some time. It sounds simple, but I think it's absolutely needed regardless of my members. They're going to be gone anyway, by the way. But I do need some time in behalf of the kids they deal with in that town to keep them out of off the streets and out of our state correction facilities. And that's all I ask, and I appreciate this opportunity.
Questions?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't know if it's a question, it's more of a comment. I think that... Mr. Groner raised a good point. I think that probably in fairness, since apparently we could request that Dr. Schmidt come before us and lay out for us what Multnomah would anticipate in terms of program cuts under this formula, that would be helpful for the deliberations of this group, to see whether it's a question of additional resources so that we hold harmless the East Oregon contingent, but also recognize, urban problems that are unique to Portland. So I'm not sure that we would be, it would benefit the committee maybe to kind of understand what those particular program cuts would look like.
Senator, you bring forth a good point. Let me... as chairman, try to put the issue into perspective in terms of our calendar and the timeline. By way of a preview of coming attractions, we have further testimony from the Frontier ESD group that would like to bring an alternative view forward. That's I anticipate that Thursday. If there were testimony from the public, and I imagine there will be, on the release of the report and the reception of this report by the committee, we've made ample time available on Thursday's schedule to bring forth reactions to this proposal.
I guess my point, Mr. Chair, was it sounded like they were worried about, you know, the upsetting the apple cart in terms of their coalition partners, but in fact, it might. I'm just telling Mr. Broner that as one individual, then I would like to hear from Multnomah County some testimony as to what.
And there could be that opportunity. That's right. My point in bringing right. this forward on Thursday. I think the thing to remember is that this committee hasn't spoken on the issue. I think all of us have different takes on what's been presented, and I want to work through that. So what I would ask you to do is echo Mr. Groner's testimony and simply, as the chairman, plead for patience. You know, we're early in the session in relative terms. We have some time to work through these things. There may be some alternative approaches, and we need to hear and consider those. I want to give an opportunity for the full range of testimony from people who may be reacting to the recommendations that have come forward from that report. And I want members to be thinking about Senator Minnis outside the box a little bit, if we might need to go there on some of these issues. But I will echo Senator Starr's commentary earlier. This some of this work is just incomparable. It's just excellent work. I think it's framed the question very, very well. And I think it's brought into sharp relief the question, what is defensible when you're talking about equity? And it is obviously a service question, and it's how the blend of services comes from school districts and from ESD. I guess what I'll do now is just open it for any commentary that the rest of the committee wants to make, and if not, we'll be adjourned until tomorrow. Senator Castillo, and then we'll give Senator Byer an opportunity.
Well, I just want to commend everybody who's been working on this, because I know it has been very difficult, and you have done really wonderful work here and in trying to get to the whole issue of equity. What does equity mean on a whole lot of different levels? And I know it's been very difficult for everybody from around the state. And I realized that your task was to try to achieve this in a zero-sum game. So that's what made it so difficult as well. So I think what you've done for us is shown us in a zero-sum game how you would imagine this taking place. And I think now it's up to us to figure out how we can step up and prevent the harm that might happen in this scenario from happening. And I'm ready to take on that challenge. And step up and try to prevent that harm from happening. And I hope we all can do that before we leave here. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Byer.
Frankly, just an observation. I'm troubled by this. And it's the whole thing of trying to figure out what's right and how you'd allocate the money. And Senator Minnis's comments really ring home to me. You know, most of the time that we've been discussing this bill, we've been talking about the inequities of serving those children with disabilities and really concentrating on that. And Mr. Groner brought up a totally different population, you know, keeping kids that are troubled, dropouts out of school. And I think the people from the north central of the areas talked about community development issues that are unrelated. They may be tangentially related. It's very hard to figure out how to deal with this one. A lot of it has to do with that on the local option, local choice of services, how that all fits into school equalization is really hard to try and figure out. You know, I'm inclined to like the idea of saying let's just allocate all the money out to school districts and let them, you know, migrate and letting them make the choices. But I think one of the realities of doing that is who benefits most from these organizations, in my experience, is the small schools. They can't afford to do them themselves. The big school districts tend to find a way to make them their own. I think that's in the initial proposal. There was the ability for the big districts to buy their piece out. I don't have an answer. It's a tough question to try and figure out how to get to. But I think it's one of those fundamental things that the legislature really hasn't dealt with is what are ESDs supposed to do? And it's back to that service question.
Further comment? Senator Starr.
Thank you. I appreciate Mr. Groner's input, and my sense is that we have created, by our failure to teach reading, much of the problem that then has to be dealt with later. Many of the Portland schools rate very low in reading success. I have before me from the Oregon Research Institute a study on the efficacy of supplemental instruction and decoding skills for Hispanic and non-Hispanic students at early elementary. Study shows that those children who have supplemental phonological instruction exceed much better in acquiring reading skills. For 20 years we've known this, and we still have not implemented fully the opportunity for all students to learn. We have really good evidence that our new president and his Secretary of Education is going to push early childhood reading success programs. If we can do that long term, we save more money than we would investing anywhere else. I believe that we're talking about ESD programs, but I believe perhaps ESDs could take a lead in supplemental reading. We're going to work hard in this session as education chair to see that we bring more light to this very issue and hopefully help students to stay in school and succeed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. I really appreciate your comments, and I've enjoyed serving on your education committee. Any other comments? Senator Maness?
Just a comment. I want to make sure that people out here understand that I'm not trying to demean their work, because my comments might have been a little bit strong earlier, using a term like stupid. It has nothing to do with, you know, the idea itself. I know we're all struggling with this thing, but I guess I'd challenge the committee to think about it from the perspective with respect to what interest does the state have in this. When we look at the bigger picture, what is the state's role and what is the state's interest and what really belongs in the local district? I think, for instance, there may be a state's interest in deciding that there is a population of youngsters out there who are very high-cost kids, and we ought to recognize that and perhaps have a grant that's direct for those kids to the extent that we can account for them. We might also want to consider a small schools grant formula if there's a compelling need to do that, in addition to a basic school support grant based on ADNW. And then, again, getting back to my idea of perhaps having the school districts go out and evaluate whether or not they want to purchase these services or not. Again, I kind of like that free enterprise component to it, so to speak, that if their services are in fact good and, you know, good quality, they're going to get recognized, they're going to consolidate, they're going to work together to make those services viable. It also gets us out of the question of what the cap is, so to speak, you know, what's being allocated here, because the school districts will be able to make their own choices within their budgets where they're going to allocate and spend those dollars. And they're the ones that then become accountable, I think, in terms of federal law and dealing with kids that have disabilities and so on and so forth. Certainly, we have a role in that. If they're not doing their job, then obviously we may have to revisit that. But I guess I'd just ask us to think a little bit differently. It seems to me that in my 15 years in this legislature, most of the time what we do is we perpetuate the existing paradigm. We perpetuate the existing systems. And everybody says it's got to be this way because it's always been that way. But I think Senator Starr makes some good points. Now, if you look at current brain research, by the way, and this is really a Senator Starr committee question, you want to teach education or languages, we ought to be requiring language education in first, second, third, fourth grade, because that's when the brain development is ready and able and capable of absorbing and learning languages. Yet our requirement is we teach it in high school. So we've got some things that we're not lining up, some of our current educational strategies, with current brain research and knowledge of child development. Why we do that, I don't know, other than to say that we've always done it that way, and that's the way we're always going to continue to do it, unless somebody steps up, thinks out of the box, and says, excuse me just a minute, but let's think about this and do something differently. Sometimes it has to be forced.
Other comments? Senator, I think it's gracious of you to recognize that the rhetoric may have caused some fluttering hearts there, but I think it'd be a mistake for people to judge your passion for this issue as incivility. I understand that you're
very interested in seeing something done positively here.
Sometimes I talk like a cop.
Yeah, we noticed that. Actually, I think of all of us on the committee, at some point or other, it can be said we're often wrong, but never uncertain. And it's the passion for the issues. This has been an excellent committee meeting. We have two bills before us tomorrow only one of which has to do with education funding. But Thursday is the day that we'll ask for testimony on Senate Bill 260 and additional information. Again, I will ask this committee to be patient, because I think there's a way for us to find success. I'm actually confident that Senate Bill 260 has a future and will ultimately be a positive expression from this legislature about education systems. So if we're finished for today, we're in adjournment until tomorrow at 8:30.